It is truly a joy for my wife and I to be with you today. I especially enjoyed the excitement that was there when we had the meet and greet and the several announcements to, hey, it's time to sit down now and move on. That's great. That's a good family. It is a joy to be here because you have some treasures here. I will tell you that that was a powerful lesson study this morning, and I really enjoyed the teacher that we had here, and I'm sure in every division. But what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful study of the lesson. A couple of comments that were made there just really struck me, and one was the richness in God's grace. Isn't that wonderful that we have a richness in God's grace? And another comment that was made by one of the class members was that the rules and regulations are not going to save you. Being a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church isn't going to save you. It helps you along your way. It gives us purpose. It gives us a world vision. But only your relationship with Jesus is what's important.
Amen.
Powerful, powerful in the lesson. We need to continue to look to Jesus and to become a friend of Jesus. And so, as we look at Jesus, we ask that our eyes be opened so we truly can see Jesus. You know, I asked Reuben to read in Spanish. It's a beautiful language. And if you're around people who speak Spanish, they will tell you it's the language of heaven. I don't speak Spanish, but I loved listening to Reuben. And I will tell you that our conference is blessed in just about every church that I can think of, except our Korean church. We have people attending who speak Spanish. And that's a wonderful, wonderful addition to every church that's there. So God has richly blessed us. But for those of you who know the scripture well, you probably learned it by singing the gospel song, you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I promised our sound person that I would not sing today, and that's a good thing. But for those of you who know scripture songs, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Fantastic little song. Fantastic and powerful message. And it goes on. I'm reading in King James. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you haven't learned the music to that, those two verses, maybe your song leaders can do that in the weeks to come. But looking at Jesus, and in the version that Reuben read this morning, I really like that because that particular version goes like this. I'm going to read it again, if that's okay, Reuben. It goes like this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants for you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Let's pray. Open my eyes, Lord, to see You in the world all around me. Let me see You in the beauty of creation. Let me see You in the face of a hungry child. Let me see You in the homeless person on the street. Let me see You in the thunder and the rain, for You've promised to be here with us, this means of grace that we learned about this morning. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to really see. Amen. Some of you maybe have heard the story that I'm going to relate to you just now. But even though we might hear what the story is saying, I'd like for you to listen to the story and relate this particular story to God and His mercy for us. Think about God here in this story and how it relates to your life, how it relates to us as individuals and to us as a church. This story actually comes from a friend of mine who is a former pastor. We lived next door to him for a couple of years, his family. And one day, he shared a journey with me. I asked him to write it down and to send it to me. And he did, and he told me that I could share it. And I've shared this a couple places around the conference because it's a powerful vision of what God is and what He does for us. It goes like this. For 2 years after my son had been released from military duty, I received late night phone calls. With each phone call, I could feel my heart just coming apart. During those 2 years, my son became a meth addict. Each late night conversation, he would ask me two questions. Does God love me? Do you think that He will forgive me? Sometimes he would want to hear stories from the life of Christ or stories from the Old Testament. Sometimes he'd just want me to pray. And during those 2 years, just like the years before, I never stopped loving my son. I never stopped offering to come and get him. I never stopped praying for him. Admittedly, I argued with God, feeling like my prayers weren't being heard, at times feeling angry with Him. Mostly, I pleaded with Him, offering to trade my life for my son's life. If only He would protect my son. only he would lead him out of the darkness that he was in. Then that phone call came that changed everything. The call that reminded me of God's tender love. The call that had me scrambling to ask God for forgiveness for the times that I was angry with Him. The call that brought healing, not only for my son, but for me as well. Dad, were you praying for me last night? Well, I had been. The previous night I woke with a start, adrenaline racing through me like wildfire. I tried to discover the cause. First, I checked around the house to see if there were any intruders, and then walked around looking for something out of the ordinary. But Josh came to mind, and I couldn't help but think that I needed to pray, and so I did. I did. I prayed all night. The strangest thing happened, Dad. I was on the street trying to make a score. And I approached a Native American. He told me to follow him. And when we were away from the crowd, he looked at me straight in the eye and said, "You don't belong out here. This isn't the life you're supposed to be having. God has something different in mind for you. You need to leave the street right now." From that moment on, my son stopped using meth. It's been a long, hard road for him. He's not perfect. Come to think of it, none of us really are. But not a day passes that he doesn't commune with the Father or study His Word, looking for strength and understanding. Now our phone conversations are about the goals that he's striving for. His love for God, answered prayers, were things he wants me to remember in prayer. Sometimes he calls just to say, "Dad, I love you." What more could a father ask? What more could we ask from one another? What more could we ask from ourselves? Since then, Josh has been back to those streets looking for the Native American that pointed him in the right direction with a few simple words. But no one knows who he was. And no one has seen him. God moves in ways that we can't begin to comprehend. What concerns us concerns the Father. Whether those concerns come in the form of small things or the forms of our sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, grandparents, loved ones, friends. I have to tell you that my friend sharing that with me really drove me to my knees. It was a picture of God always being there for us, for walking with us, for never giving up on us, no matter where we are. And it drove me to my knees because I had no idea of the pain that my friend was in with his son, even though at one time we had lived next door, as I said. I had no idea what he was going through. We mask things well. We come to church and we say happy Sabbath, and truly it is a wonderful Sabbath. But sometimes we're really hurting inside. Had I become so well adjusted to my culture, as the scripture says in Romans 12, that I had become blind to the needs of my friends? Had I lost focus on Jesus? Would I have recognized God in the form of the Native American that night? Led me to reread a familiar story in the Bible about blind Bartimaeus receiving his sight. And this is just one of those accounts that I can really get into because I can imagine the smells and the sights and the sounds of all of those kind of things going on. And I can just imagine the joy that Bartimaeus had when he opened his eyes and saw the Son of David standing there in front of him. We can learn a lot from his determination to get to Jesus, no matter what it would take. And we need to ask ourselves, truly, have we lost sight? Have we become so much a part of our culture that we can't see Jesus anymore? Are we blind? That's an important fact that as we look at this account of Bartimaeus, that we realize that in that day, there was no Social Security, there were no food stamps, there was no welfare, there was no disability of anything, no housing help. And so if a person who had a disability wasn't able to provide for himself or herself, likely they had to resort to one thing, and that was begging. It was that or die, because most people, including their families, wanted nothing to do with them because they all felt that they were cursed by God. And you remember that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, taking his journey to the cross. And so we know that in this story, he wouldn't be walking that way ever again. So there wasn't another opportunity for Bartimaeus to actually see Jesus again. This was the last walk that Jesus would have passed there. And others were on their way to the Passover as well. And in that day, this would have been a virtual rush hour with the donkeys and the sheep and the people going to Passover. And the crowds were gathering. And in the midst of all of this was this man begging along the side of the road. And this afternoon, you can read that account in Mark 10, starting with verse 46. But this morning, I'd like to just share maybe what my idea of Bartimaeus and his view of what his experience with Jesus was. as he opened his eyes. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. But when your eyes are open, what do you see when you see Jesus? My name is Bartimaeus. And I'll tell you what I saw. I was blind. I lived in Jericho, and I used to sit by the road that ran through town and on up to Jerusalem. I would sit there and I would beg. It was a well-traveled road, so I usually ended one day with enough to buy food for the next. Not always, but usually. So one day I was sitting there and I heard a crowd coming, and I said, "What's happening?" And I hoped that somebody would tell me, and they did. They said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by." Well, I had heard about this Jesus before, but I believed that he was more than just a rabbi from Nazareth. I was convinced that he was the Messiah that God had promised to raise up from the line of David. So that's what I called him. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Well, when I yelled to him, all I heard from the crowd all around me was, "Shut up. How impolite. Shut up. Be quiet. You're nothing. You're cursed by God. Be quiet." Oh, there was no way I was going to be quiet. Not with Jesus this close. And I shouted as loud as I could, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus heard me. He stopped and he told the crowd to bring me to him. Shaking like a leaf, I came. I was excited. I was a little scared. But Jesus did something that no one was supposed to do to someone who had been cursed by God. He put his hand on me. He touched me. And when he put his hand on my shoulder, he asked me the most beautiful question. "What do you want me to do for you?" What a wonderful picture of God not asking what we can do for him, but coming down here, the creator of all the universes, saying, "What can I do for you?" Well, there was only one thing that I really wanted, and one thing more than anything else. And I said, "Lord, let me see again." And I waited. Then he spoke, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. Has made you well." Well, as soon as Jesus said that, I could see again. And the first thing that I see is Jesus. I could see Jesus, the Creator. And when I see Jesus, I realize that I must go with him. Now, he told me that I could go along my way, but I knew I had to follow him because Jesus made me see again. No way was I going to leave him now. I praise God that I was healed, and healed by God's Messiah at that. And a lot of other folks joined in, and we just kept praising God as we walked with Jesus on up the road to Jerusalem and the Passover celebration. And I could see everything. I'll never forget that moment what it was like. I open my eyes and I see Jesus. And I see God's love looking right back at me. I see God's mercy looking right back at me. And I see that the only way to respond to that love and mercy is to go with Jesus and love Him as much as I could. Because when I see Jesus, I see a man I have to follow. Brothers and sisters, this story really is about us. We want to encounter Jesus. We want to know Him, to be a friend. That's why you're here today. We want to be able to find the words to tell Jesus what we really want. We want to be healed, to be able to see, to be made whole. That's what we want, isn't it? To trade in whatever blindness we have, to trade it in for sight so that we can see. But for Jesus to help us to see, we first have to admit that we're blind. And you know I don't mean physically blind, but spiritually blind. In a way, we're all blind from birth. We're blind to the things of God. That's what sin does to us. We're blind to God, and we're blind to who we are as creatures of God. We're blind to everything but ourselves, our needs, our wants, our desires. But God doesn't leave us in our blindness. Just like the story of Josh. His dad never left him. God never left him. We see that we're sinners, and the only cure is a relationship with God. And when we accept the relationship of love that God offers us in Jesus, justifying grace or justification, our eyes are open for the first time. And we can really see. We see the love. We see the power, the beauty of God. We see for the first time what we really can be through God. And then as God continues to give us the grace, sanctifying grace, sanctification, to our eyes are opened more and more to the things of God and to see all the people and the places around us where our love and our service can make a real difference. When we're blind, we can't see any further than ourselves. But when Jesus opens our eyes, we see a whole new world. We begin to see signs around us about how God is at work in the world, where God's love is being made known, and where God's kingdom is beginning here on earth. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I think you know where this is leading. Do you find yourself relating to Bartimaeus? Maybe not physically blind, but spiritual blinders been on for quite some time. Maybe you have tried doing this or that, trying to make yourself good enough for him. The reality is that we're just a lowly beggar. We're sinners. And I want you to hear me clearly. There is nothing we can do for ourselves to change the fact that we're sinners. You cannot be saved without the blood and the righteousness of Jesus. And by accepting that, there is only one person that can heal us. There is only one who has already paid the price. Like the crowds that were gathering that day, maybe there is a commotion that's stirring in you. And you can sense that Jesus is coming by you right now. And maybe you need to shout, "Son of God, have mercy on me." Where are you this morning? Have you come to the one who can save you and set you free? Can help you to see? Bartimaeus didn't know at this point that Jesus wouldn't be passing that way again. For he was on his way to the cross and death, but he wasn't going to take any chances. Sometimes we become complacent and say, "You know, I can make that decision later. There'll be more time. Maybe when I'm older." But can you hear him saying to you right now, "What do you want me to do for you?" Friends, you need to respond, "Lord, I want to see." This seeing, this eye-opening experiences are powerful. And I don't know about you, but I want to be like Bartimaeus. When Jesus asks me what I want, I'll say, "Let me see, Jesus, let me really see." And the song, are we having a pianist? Yes, thank you. The song sings, "Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus." Amen. That is what I want from Jesus. I think that's what you want. Brothers and sisters, what a marvelous future is ours. As we look away from ourselves and we begin to look at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing together 326, "Open My Eyes."
Before we pray, a reminder, those that would love to have a fellowship meal, we can continue that handshake we were talking about. It's wonderful. We also have a series of meetings in Heavenly starting next Friday night, 7 o'clock. Wesley White is our speaker. Right. Let's stay within the Spirit as we ask our elder and brother to have our closing prayer.
Father God, in the quietness of this chapel this morning, with the presence of your Holy Spirit,